May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I want to just insert a quick congratulations for those who don't know to Barbara Main, who graduated from EFM this week. Well done, you, Barb. It was wonderful to attend this Education for Ministry or EFM grad and service at Holy Cross on Thursday evening and celebrate my friends who completed the four-year course, specifically Barb and Deacon Dave Ginther from St. Edmunds, with whom I shared 2 years of EFM, Barb and Dave. Excuse me. But what was particularly lovely was to see all of the folks from St. George's who also attended the service to celebrate Barb. I love that about our parish family. And one of the things I enjoyed during my time studying at EFM, and Barb, as well as Doreen and Meg and Emmanuel, who are currently taking the course, they may be able to attest to this, was the time spent in theological reflection each week. Yeah, I see you nodding your head. Yeah. Theological reflection is a practice to help us know God and know about God through our own experiences. It encourages us to make links between God's story and our story, between the past and the present. It helps us relate our lives to those of earlier people who, like us, are part of the family of God. So an idea or a seed is examined and connections made to our faith. And these seeds come from one of four sources: our own personal experience or an action we've taken recently, or from our personal position, our beliefs and our values. It can also come from Christian tradition like scripture, the church history, our own denomination, our own church experiences. And it can also come from our culture or society, from books, movies, magazines, anything we may encounter in our daily lives. So I had a bit of a theological reflection this week after I saw a license plate on a vehicle ahead of me. So this would be a cultural source for a TR or theological reflection. I was driving home one morning after dropping off my granddaughter at school, and in front of me was a car with a personalized license plate that read in big capital letters, "Enabler." And I had kind of an immediate reaction to that, because enabler in today's context doesn't often have a positive association. Over the past decades, this word has taken on the sense, especially through the field of addiction studies, that enabling is viewed as giving misguided support to a person with some substance abuse issue. So an enabler is a person who facilitates the self-destructive behavior of another by providing excuses or by making it possible to avoid the consequences of such behavior of the other. It can also be true for people with other self-destructive or behavioral issues. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in its simplest definition, enabling is helping. And we always think of helping as an incredibly positive thing. As Christians, we are brought up to be enablers, helpers, especially during trying and grim times. Think of this past week, all of the horrific news coming out of the U.S. Three incidents that have been reported. And I bring up again the wonderful words of Mr. Rogers, whose mother comforted him as a child when he saw horrific news on the radio or television, or heard it on the radio rather, She said, when bad things happen in the world, look for the helpers. But it's this recent evolution of the word enabler that prompted this most visceral reaction in me. Why would someone want to drive around with that moniker on their vehicle? And it made me think. It made me reflect. Especially as I was in a week of reflection and discernment already preparing for this morning's sermon. And of course, this week, we are remembering and celebrating today the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciple after Jesus' ascension. Well, Pentecost is not a Christian invention. If we go to the opening sentences of our reading from Acts today, and well done with that, Nancy, a lot of strange words to get your tongue around there. We hear that when the day of Pentecost had come, they, the disciples, were all together in one place. Well, Pentecost was a Jewish festival, and it was celebrated 50 days after Passover, hence Pentecost. And originally, it was the celebration of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. But by the time of Christ, it had evolved a little bit to celebrate the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So for the Jews, it was the celebration of the law and the renewal of this Mosaic covenant. And so the disciples were together celebrating Pentecost in a place, a house, a room. They were inside when, can you imagine, inside, suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. As the Spirit gave them ability. Could we say the Spirit enabled them, helped them, assisted them? Well, they had a big job ahead of them. Jesus, in his final commissioning before he ascended to the Father, told them they were to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I, Jesus, have commanded you. That's a pretty big task, isn't it? They were not unwilling. They were fully committed, but they were also only human. And Jesus and his Father knew this. These wonderful and willing disciples upon whom the future of the faith rests were only human. And so they were enabled by the Holy Spirit. There, inside that room, the place where they were celebrating the Jewish festival of Pentecost, God gave them what they needed to fulfill his last instructions to them, equipping them to open the door, go out into the world, and spread the gospel in many different tongues. Our readings today, if you look at Genesis, and our Acts reading make for fascinating bookends, actually. In Genesis, we heard how God disrupted the plans of the people to build a great tower to the heavens by introducing different languages. This people in Genesis, only a few generations after Noah, but before Abraham, wanted to make for themselves a name, to be a special people, to be perceived as better, superior, literally elevated. And towers and high hills were common practices amongst the pagans, because the higher, the better, to bring you closer to their gods. So perhaps this people of God were trying to make themselves more like God. But God had already made a promise, a covenant symbolized by the rainbow after the flood. He would never again destroy his creation, not for arrogance or pride or any kind of sinfulness. So instead, he confused them with multiple languages so they couldn't communicate with one another, and the project had to be abandoned. But in Acts, in the New Testament, God gifts the disciples with the ability to speak different languages in order that they may fulfill Jesus' commission to spread the gospel. This time, God unconfuses so that all who listened could understand should they choose to hear. It was no accident of history that the Jewish festival of Pentecost was the day that God chose to send the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and birth his church. God kind of co-opted what was originally a harvest festival and gave it new meaning as the beginning of a spiritual harvest, one that is still going on today. And rather than emphasizing the Mosaic covenant associated with Pentecost in Jesus' day, it now pointed to the presence of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit as God's new covenant with humankind. Old Testament, New Testament, Moses, Jesus, Old Covenant, New Covenant. It's important that we recognize and understand what this day means. It's huge in the history of our church. It's really one of the three major festivals or celebrations. What are the other two? What do you think? Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, or Whitsun, right, Linda? For us traditional Anglicans, Whit Sunday. And they're all related, connected, a trinity. Guess what? What's next Sunday? Trinity Sunday. That's right. I hope Father Greg appreciates the segue. At the end of the Great Commission, as noted in Matthew, Jesus says, "And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." Jesus promised he would never leave them. And that promise was kept when he came at Pentecost as the Holy Spirit, God's continuing presence in their lives. And so it is for us too. The Holy Spirit continues to teach, strengthen, and encourage us in Jesus' physical absence. I don't know about you, but 2 weeks ago when Archbishop Greg spoke to us in his sermon, I heard the Holy Spirit. It was one of the most inspired and cohesive sermons in my memory. And if you remember, at one point he said, "I wasn't going to talk about this, but..." He was inspired to speak to us specifically about something. And he did. He spoke directly to us. God spoke directly to us through him, right, Anne? Yeah. Spoke to us as a people and the challenges we're facing right now, reminding us that we as a people are the temple of God. The word, the message, the reassurance, the guidance, the love from God gifted to us through the Holy Spirit, it is there for those who choose to hear, whose ears and hearts are open to beautiful possibilities. Oh, there's another cultural reference for you. Beautiful possibilities. Does that ring a bell? IKEA. What are the beautiful possibilities in your own life as a recipient of the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ? And what are the beautiful possibilities awaiting us as a people, as a parish? With what gifts have we been blessed through the power of the Holy Spirit? So on this day, let us celebrate the birthday of the church and the immense gift God has given to us in the Holy Spirit, the advocate of the Father, as John tells us in the gospel. We are never alone. He is with us always, as he said, to the end of the age. And it is he, through the Holy Spirit, who enables each of us to use our unique gifts as his disciples and respond to Jesus' great commission to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. Amen.